Good morning. I am bringing the message this morning. Our title will be, we're talking about the mother of Jesus, Mary. So the title will be Transforming Moments with Mary. Yeah, we're going to take a little trip and see what things she discovered, what she saw, what she believed, and what she did as a result of the invitation she received. So before I get started, I'm going to start with an introduction. So to tell you a little bit about myself, these are pictures of me. You see that little baby picture? That's little baby Dawana Faye Lawson. Little Dawana Faye was born in January in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. She was the only daughter of Carolyn Johnson and Andrew Lawson. She was vivacious, talkative, didn't know a stranger even at a young age. My grandmother was always afraid I would walk off, and I did a couple times. And she told me the story of one day in the store. We had a department store called Bames, and she took me to the store that day just to do some shopping. She turned around and one minute I had walked away. I had to be three or four years old. I was really talkative though. So she was frantically looking for me, like, where is she? Where is she? Where'd she go? Where'd she go? And she heard this group of people laughing. And she was like, where's my baby? I can't find my baby. She's looking around. And when she finds me, I'm standing in the center of this group of people and I'm talking and entertaining them and having a good time, right? So yeah, she threatened me with an inch of my life then to never leave her side. I moved here to Columbus, Ohio in 1992, so I've been here longer than I lived in Arkansas. I've been here almost 30 years. It'll be 30 years next year. While I've been here, I, of course, you see my graduation pictures. I graduated from high school from Pine Bluff High. I graduated from college from the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, a historically black college. And then I moved. God put me on the move. So I moved from Arkansas to Oklahoma and then stayed there for 4 years and moved from Oklahoma to here. And I've been here ever since. This has been a blessed place for me. I've enjoyed living in Ohio. I've gone to church all of my entire life. I probably was not in church maybe a year and a half, and that might have been while I was in college, exploring and thought I knew what I was doing. So, but I have been in church my entire life, and God has blessed me as a result of that. Amen. All right, let's see if... Oh, right. I'm sorry. I had the Master of Divinity degree. Okay, so that's the near the baby picture. I graduated with my Master of Divinity degree in 2014. And then I recently graduated with my Doctor of Ministry degree this year. Yay! Praise God. I got through that. That was 6 years of, oh my God, did I make the right decision? Did I hear you right, God? I don't know if I heard you right. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4. I was like, okay, I'm going to quit because this is way too much. Chapter 3 almost took me out. So yes, absolutely. I made it and graduated this year. Amen. Amen. All right. Come on. Act right. There you go. All right, our main idea, God's interruptions are an invitation to life transformation. God interrupts us. My grandmother taught me not to interrupt grown people when they talk, but God interrupts us no matter what we're doing. Our scripture reading and the basis for this sermon is coming from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 54, and it says, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. Let's pray. Mighty God, everlasting Father, my great companion, I thank you, Lord God, for being with us today. I thank you for being here with us today. Lord, throughout the years, you have continued to bless and to keep us and to show us your will, no matter what is going on in our lives, and we thank you for that blessing. We ask, Lord God, as you reside here with us now, that you would just open our hearts and our ears to your word. Allow us to receive everything that you have put out for us to do and to say in this moment. God, take Dawana out of the equation and let them see you. It's not about me, but it's always about you. So we give your name all honor and praise, and we thank you, Lord, for your greatness, your goodness, your mercy that you provide on a ready and a steady basis. And we give your name all praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned to you earlier, I just got my doctorate in ministry, but I've always had a love for reading. And even though I've taken a break for the moment because I'm so sick of seeing a book that I probably will just like run away from it, I am looking forward to getting back to reading. But as a result of loving to read, I also have obtained a love for words. Words help us communicate. They establish meaning and invoke feeling. Words provide structure and can also center us in time and space. The words that are meaningful during our time today are transformation and essential. Transformation. Transformative. Transform. What do you think when you hear those words? I think of butterflies. Transformed beauties who were once caterpillars. Butterflies vary in size, species, and color, but they were once earthbound. Caterpillars do not fly. They inch along. They crawl. Their domain is earth and ground. After their transformation, butterflies can move from one place to the other in the air with no specific place to be. Transformed. The root word of that word is form, which can mean formed in the past tense, which can evolve into another word, formation, forming, formed. When something is formed, it's shaped, it's manipulated into a different size, and sometimes for a different purpose than what it was originally. Formed, formation, transformation. Essential. This is a word that has become very familiar to us here in the United States as we've endured the effects of the pandemic. Essential workers has been the terminology used to describe those who are important, necessary, and needed to the furthering of the culture, furthering of business, furthering of the things that we as people need. Essential workers. During the pandemic in 2020, I was described as an essential worker. I am a hospice chaplain by profession. As a hospice chaplain, I am allowed to provide sacramental support to patients and their families while the patient is in hospice care. Providing sacramental support means I can read scripture, I can pray, and provide companionship that is meaningful for them. Meaningful companionship means that I can determine what the patient or the family member needs from me. Do they need conversation? Do they need prayer? Do they need my presence? And sometimes my presence means that they also need my presence with silence. As a hospice chaplain, essential worker, woman of faith, I can provide meaningful presence and support to those who are hurting and in some way give them what they may not have asked for. I am grateful to the government, the entity called hospice, that allows me to still work and do what I love to do, and that is to give prayer and honor to God and to provide meaningful companionship. Essential. Essential women. Mary, mother of Jesus, has been seen as an important person in the story. In many ways, her body, her womb, was the vehicle God used to get baby Jesus here in the world. And I see the wisdom in that from God's choice and know that his timing is perfect. Indeed, if God had decided to use a virgin in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, the story might have been quite different. You see, I don't know if I had gone to my grandmother with a story of being impregnated by the Holy Spirit, if me and Jesus would have made it through that story. Yeah, I love my grandmother, but she just would not have been able to handle that story. Mary was chosen for many reasons. First and foremost, because of her lineage and her place in that lineage. Timing was everything, and when Mary was ready to be betrothed, it was also time for the Son of God to make his appearance. Timing is everything. When we come across this story in Luke chapter 1, we see that God has been up to some things. The story of Christ's birth is unfolding, but it has been forming for some time. As you read Matthew's account of Jesus' lineage, you realize that God has been forming and transforming people who would have been identified as a part of Jesus' ancestral line. The lives of so many people were changed, transformed, and aligned in God's great design of an ancestral heritage for Jesus. None of them knew that their story would line up with the great plan of God to bring Jesus into the world. None of them knew their names would be included in the historical record of Jesus, of how Jesus would arrive and change everything. Mary, at the time of Luke chapter 1, was a young girl, a teenager. Her beginnings prior to this scene in Luke were not provided in Scripture, but we can determine some of what her life would have been like up until this point. Based on historical facts of women raised in this period, Mary would have been no different than any other girl being raised in a Hebrew home. She would have been taught all the duties of a woman, taught to cook, clean, sew and mend clothing, repair and shape pottery items necessary for the running of the home, and taught how to address the men in her life. She knew how to talk with and address her father. She learned from her mother and her father how to address her husband and how to keep herself holy, chaste, virginal, until she was betrothed and then given in marriage. She knew how to keep herself clean, to be seen and not seen, to stow herself away when it was that time of the month, and to keep herself clean and not to bother anyone in the household. Yes, Mary understood, even at her age, And some theologians suggest that maybe she was 12, maybe she was 14. That's kind of young. But still a woman that was trained to be ready. Yes, Mary understood, even at her age, how to be the woman in a Hebrew home. Mary was probably excited. Young women were taught to look toward marriage because in marriage, they had meaning and purpose in their life. In marriage, their significance was determined by who they married and how many children they had. A young woman who was betrothed was preparing herself not only for starting a new life as a married woman, but also for the beginning of a new household. As a wife of a Hebrew man, she would have been able to do and to perform all the duties necessary to keep a good home for Joseph. She would not have a title or any accolades behind her name. She might be mentioned as Joseph's wife, but may not be even called by her given name. She would not be recognized for being a superior cook or for keeping a home clean, yet these things were expected of her. No, the life that Mary was destined for was for prior to her big surprise was a life led by many unmentioned women who married men in this time in history. Their talents, essential, and yet no one will remember who they were. In fact, as you read most lineage stories, it is the men who are mentioned most often. But as we observe in Matthew's account, he included men and women as a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. So we go back to Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. We peek in on Mary, who probably was just doing what she does each day. Maybe today's task was repairing some of her clothing that needed repair. She is preparing herself to move into her husband's home. She is gathering items that she would like to take with her. She may have even had a conversation with her mother to talk about what kind of things should she remember and what type of things she should take with her. It's just a normal day, and yet it's not just any day. Today will be the day that Mary transforms. This is the day she rises to the calling on her life and says yes when a no is not appropriate. In verse 26, the angel Gabriel pays Mary a visit at her home in Nazareth of Galilee. The Bible introduces Mary as a virgin, betrothed to a man named Joseph. Gabriel's greeting to her puzzled and confused her. After his greeting, the angel encourages her not to be afraid. She is not only highly favored and blessed, but she will also conceive a son. At this point, Mary has to be reeling. She has to be feeling like she is dreaming or hallucinating. She has to be considering, what did I eat earlier today? Is my stomach upset? Did I do too much this morning and wore myself out? What in the world is going on? But the angel continues to speak. Gabriel tells her in the next few verses that she is going to have a son. She will call his name Jesus. He will basically be king of the world, also considered son of God, and will rule his people. Wow. By the time we get to verse 34, Mary is telling Gabriel how unlikely this could be. You see, she's saying and would have said what many of us would have said. Excuse me, sir, this all sounds very nice, and I appreciate you coming, but I am betrothed to a man, which means betrothal means we haven't touched. I haven't seen a man. He hasn't seen me. We haven't come close. None of those things have happened. So how could I possibly be pregnant? So as we spend more time dissecting and discovering what Mary did, what she was feeling, how she took in all that she was told in that conversation, that brief conversation with the angel. Give me a few minutes and I will finish this up for you. First, let me say that Mary was transformed into a woman of destiny. She became blessed among women. Mary was reeling, yes. And at the same time, she could begin to see her life would be more than just dishes and mending garments. She could see herself past the dust of her home and into the destiny God had in store for her. In verse 48, she speaks of her destiny and marvels at God's desire to bless her. She says, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed." What an amazing thing to behold. What power and strength had to come for her and come up in her in that moment. Mary did not know everything that she would have to endure to take hold of this blessing, but she knew that God had done so much just in the announcement of things to come. Destiny is a powerful word. It speaks of future and a path that is less traveled. It can shower us with strength and power if we accept the good with the bad. Mary's destiny was secure. She would be a woman considered blessed among all other women. No matter who women gave birth to in that present or future time, no one else would give birth to a Savior, to our Savior, to her Savior. Mary gave birth to her Savior, the one who would save all others from then and into eternity. As she sang her song, Mary spoke of destiny and the impact it would have on the world. Are we able to look at our lives and see destiny all over it? Are we able to right now examine the moments of our lives and pick out the scenes that would speak to our destiny? Can we also see the times when we might have gone in another direction, but God, in his infinite wisdom, said, "No, not this way, but this way"? Mary was planning to be just another simple woman, married to a man and destined to be his wife and the mother of his children. God said, "Yes, that will happen. But there is nothing simple about your life, Mary, ever again." Her plans were interrupted, changed, transformed. Think of it now, and consider or ponder the moments that made your life path change. In high school, as I was preparing for graduation, my guidance counselor suggested that I consider being a teacher in elementary school, maybe. Though teaching is a noble and needed profession, it was not the time for me and not the path that God had for me. If I had settled for that assessment of my life, I would not be standing here today. I would not be in a position to accept God's call when he told me to go. Go to Oklahoma. Then 4 years later, go to Ohio. I would have been established in Arkansas, never considering maybe a life outside of there. Something, and it was God, in me said no to teaching and yes to college with a degree in computer science and a minor in psychology and math, and yes to moving twice, and yes to more school. Something in you said yes to what God invited you to. God invites us all to walk in paths leading to our destiny. God invited Mary that day, and she said yes. And sometimes our yeses are given in the midst of difficulty and in challenging times. I read a story that's a strange story about an art exhibit, and I'm going to give you a very abbreviated version of it, and I've changed some of the words to make it more relevant to us, but I invite you to go with me. You find yourself free one lazy November afternoon with nothing to do. As you search the newspapers, you see an ad, art exhibit, bruised reed and smoldering wick, 2 to 4 p.m., Columbus Public Library, free to the public. You decide to take a chance since you have nothing else to do, so you take the drive or the walk to the library. You enter, and on your left, you see rows of books that are willing to entice you away. And then you look to your right, and you see the sign, and it says art exhibit, and the two big doors leading to the room. As you enter, you see paintings grouped in pairs, lined up around the room. You start at the beginning, and the first picture is of a leper, hands wrapped in ragged clothing, fingers missing. He is extending his hands towards someone whose back is to you in the picture. Around him, you see the tortured faces of people, a woman running away from the leper, also tripping, almost tripping over her feet, a man grabbing his child so that he too can escape from this man with no fingers. The caption on the picture is of the leper's words, and it says this: if you will, you can. In the next picture, you see the leper now standing, looking healthy and strong. His hands are extended, and there are now fingers on his hand. On the faces of those around the former leper, you see astonishment. The caption on the picture says, I will. The next set of pictures depict the same disparities. A woman in tattered clothing is pictured jumping in midair toward the other side of a cavern. Her skin is pale and she is frail in appearance. She does not appear to have the strength to make this leap to the other side. On the other side is a man, his back to you. The only thing you're able to see is his legs, his feet, and the hem of his garment. She appears to be leaping toward this man, and the caption at the bottom of the picture speaks her words, if only. You quickly move to the other picture and see the woman now standing, her cheeks flushed, and there being more life in her eyes now than before. She's smiling, but she's also looking cautiously at the people around her who are now looking at her. The one she sought to touch is standing beside her, and the caption on the picture repeats his words, take heart. Our lives have before and after depictions of them, no different than these two examples. The before picture is one of your life before you made the choice, before you moved out to the life you had before, and before you said yes to the invitation of God. You are walking in your destiny and see things just a bit clearer. You, like Mary, do not see all the implications of your decision, but you know it's the right one. If you are currently at a place of decision, I encourage you to remember the choice is yours. Yes, your yes could be audible or just an understanding between you and God. Mary said yes, and it meant all the world to the rest of us. She walked in her destiny, and the rest is history. Secondly, Mary's yes transformed her into a woman of dignity. Mary did not know the full impact of her decision. She was a simple teenager faced with a no or yes response to an invitation. She could have written all of this off as fantasy and to go on with her chores, but she did not. She had to acknowledge, she was willing to walk into this decision with grace. She had to acknowledge that the plans she had before had now changed. God has something else in mind. It's not just about being the wife to Joseph and mother of his children, but it was also about embracing more than she could imagine. And she did this with dignity. Dignity involves accepting responsibility for your choices. Mary understood that in her tradition, she should not make any decisions without consulting her father or someone who had authority over her. She was not yet married, so the responsibility would still have belonged to her father. Mary does something that God knew she would do all along. Mary rises to her calling, accepts the impossible words that the angel spoke to her, and said, "Yes, I will accept this impossible future. Yes, I will accept this change to my agenda. I will take hold of the words I hear and make them a part of my reality as I walk into my future. I will say yes." In verse 38, she does something that I picked up in the King James Version is a little bit different than what it is in the newer translations. Mary's response is, "Be it unto me according to your words." Basically, let it be done. Be it unto me. Be it unto me. Whatever it is, I'm okay with it. I said yes when I could have said no. Imagine what she's doing. She is facing a difficult outcome. She is considering the difficulties that she could face, and she still said yes. I'm imagining the position that she's in, and as I consider my own life, I'm thinking, what if God had told me before it happened that I would marry a man, be married to him for 2.5 years, and then he die? I can't see accepting that truth with the same joy that Mary did. I can't see any of us accepting the joy of a difficult situation or accepting a difficult situation in joy. And yet Mary did. And I am grateful that God did not present me with that reality before it happened. What I do know is that God knew what I could do and what I could not do. God knew what Mary could do and could not do. In the midst of strength that may not have been perceived by others in her life, Mary showed the strength to say yes and affirm it with, "Be it done unto me." She may have considered a few things as she made this decision. You see, the people of Israel expected a king, a real king. They wanted someone who would come in, kill everyone that was oppressing them, free them from their bondage, and sit on the throne and rule them and tell them what to do. The actions of God that day did not appear to be establishing Jesus as that kind of king. Both Joseph and Mary were not of noble blood from the standpoint that their families were a part of a ruling class. She understood that their lives were humble and quiet ones. And to her knowledge, God was not going to establish either of them as king and queen of anything. What God did do was to entrust them with the life of a small child, putting him in their care. What God did do was to quietly bring Jesus into the world as a baby who had to grow up with human parents. These actions did not speak of a revolution the people of Israel were expecting and desired. And yet Mary, as she ponders the words she hears and the teachings she received as a young girl, was beginning to see the hand of God in the small avenues of life. Her life would speak of destiny, and her life would be lived with dignity as she obeyed God's word and sought his direction. Lastly, Mary's choice to say yes to her transformation made her a woman of liberation. Never again should a woman be considered inconsequential in the story of faith. Never again should women be spoke of as a side story, like, "Oh, by the way, yeah, they were there too." never again. Mary is liberated by her yes to God's plans for her. She acknowledges God's help to his people and knows that he has a place, has plans for liberation. In verse 54, she speaks of God's help to his servant Israel, that he remembers to be merciful to them. God knows what they need. Israel desires a conquering king. God says, I will conquer, but first you must submit, O Israel. Then I can conquer the world. Liberation comes with a hefty price. It is not easily acquired, since most of us do not recognize our own need for liberation. We explore our history and we can see times when liberation was needed and necessary, but often not sought. What is liberation? It speaks of gaining equal rights or an acknowledgement that everyone stands on equal footing. Unfortunately, even today, in 2021, women are not considered fully liberated from the bondage of inequality. We struggle to be seen as equal in the marketplace. We are challenged to be paid the same as men working the same jobs we are performing. As a woman of color, the disparities are heightened. But God. God shows us through Mary that liberation is a possibility for us. We should be encouraged today that though the process of equality is slow, it is inevitable because it is the will of God. In our history, women of color fought hard to be equal. I will call the name of Fannie Lou Hamer, who lived and fought for equality in the state of Mississippi. She faced much resistance to gain the right to vote. She was beaten to the point of being lame. She was refused passage. She was fired from her jobs and chased away from her home. She fought for her personal right to vote for 3 years. She believed in liberation and had enough yes in her spirit to not give up. Ida B. Wells was a writer who wrote about the lynchings occurring during her time. She too was harassed, chased away, fired, and maligned for daring to speak about these atrocities. And she too believed in liberation and had enough yes in her spirit not to give up. Mamie Till had enough yes in her spirit to not give up. She allowed the mangled and mutilated body of her son to be photographed and witnessed by the world after he was killed. Liberation cannot come without sacrifice. Mamie sacrificed much to make sure that the world would not forget Emmett or his brutal murder. These women and men and so many more fought for liberation. They saw the disparities and called foul on the treatment they received. I believe Mary knew that her people would struggle to see her in the full light of her sacrifice. Mary knew that her people would not see things the way God saw them, but still said yes. Yes to the choice. Yes to the struggles. Yes to the jeers and taunting. Yes to the name calling. Yes to the suspicion. Yes to being shunned. And yes, all the way to the hill on Golgotha. Her life and her choice show us the way to destiny, dignity, and liberation. Her choice makes her essential, not just because she was the blessed womb, but because she was willing to say yes. In his book, God Speaks Through Wombs, Poems on God's Unexpected Coming, African-American author Drew Jackson wrote a poem called That Girl Can Sing, based on Mary's song, or it's also called the Magnificat, right? Verses 46 through 54 are considered the Magnificat. But this poem reads like this. I mean, she can sing. She has a voice that can shatter shackles. Her tune is no soothing lullaby. It thunders down through the arena of time. Sing, Mary, sing! Like Fanny at the marches, like the high priestess of soul belting out her black gold, like Hannah breaking vows of mighty warriors. You better sing, Mary. Watch out. The sound of her voice will cast them down, way down. No doubt they will try to quiet her, soften her, make her into a domesticated maiden. But we're going to play this song. Go on, Mary. Bless our ears with your sonic theology. Lift us up with your melodic doctrine. Magnify, magnify. This voice is magnificent. Amen. Our lives present varying kinds of challenges and interruptions. As we have examined the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, we are reminded that God transformed a young lady into a woman of destiny, dignity, and liberation. And as we reflect on Mary's beginnings, we ask ourselves, am I ready to be transformed as Mary was by the moments of interruption? I will leave you with the points to ponder. I encourage you to take a moment to reflect on your journey thus far. How many scenes from your life could be seen as invitations from God leading to transformation? Think about that art exhibit and think about what two scenes from your life would be included in that exhibit. Number two, as we reflect on the grace and goodness of God, thank Him for the invitation that transformed you in some way, great or small, because it all matters. And number three, if you are so led, write out your own Magnificat, your praise anthem to God for transformation you did not expect but are grateful for. Let's pray. God, we honor you in this moment because you are more than worthy. And you have brought us through things that we never thought we would see the other side of. So we bless you and honor you for the times when we've said yes, even when we didn't know that's what we were saying. We've said yes to your will and yes to your way. And we are grateful and thankful for all that you've done for us, with us, and through us. We give your name all praise and honor today, God, and we thank you. In the mighty and matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.